You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Transform the way you hunt with the all-new Base cellular trail camera connected by the Moultrie mobile app. Moultrie Mobile's industry-best app gives you complete control over your camera settings, up-to-the-minute updates from the field, and other interactive scouting tools on your smartphone or computer. Features like weather forecast, advanced species recognition, interactive maps, and a whole lot more. For more information and to make your purchase, visit www.moultriemobile.com.
This is the Average Conservationist podcast, brought to you by Outdoor Class and in partner with 2% for Conservation. Outdoor Class is the new single source of premium outdoor education from trusted, knowledgeable experts. For hunters committed to improving their skills, Outdoor Class is the only subscription-based e-learning platform that provides unlimited access to video lessons from the world's most respected experts covering topics across a hunter's entire journey. Learn from industry leaders like Corey Jacobson, Randy Newberg, Remy Warren, and other prominent personalities and organizations. Sign up today and use code AVERAGE to save 20%. 2% for Conservation's mission is to create an alliance of businesses and individuals that ensure the future of hunting and angling by committing their time and dollars to fish and wildlife. 1% of your time plus 1% of your money equals 2% for Conservation. 2% helps businesses and people pair with conservation causes to support things that fit what they care about. Whether you're into fishing, hunting, or just getting outdoors, 2% can help you not only start giving back to wildlife, but get certified for it. Getting 2% certified means you've made the same commitment as popular brands like Sitka, Stone Glacier, and Seek Outside in giving at least 1% of your time and dollars back to wildlife. But it's not just for outdoor companies. Breweries, contractors, coffee roasters, and even piano repair companies have earned 2% certification and stand out as leaders in their communities for doing so. Businesses that are committed to conservation deserve your business when you shop. Learn more about 2% for Conservation at fishandwildlife.org. That's fishandwildlife.org. What's up, everyone? A happy Wednesday to you. I hope that the week is going well, and welcome back to the Average Conservationist podcast, and I'm your host, Marcus Ewing. Got a fun episode for you today. Today, kind of a different episode than what we've done traditionally, but today I'm joined by Sean Durkee and his daughter, Lila. And if you've been a loyal listener, go all the way back over 2 years ago, one of the first 10 episodes or so that I did of the podcast featured Sean. Sean is the owner of 2% Certified Alpine Fuel. And this episode is a little bit different, where recently Sean and his daughter participated in a goat survey out in Montana. So we had this idea, Jared Frazier, really kind of the mastermind behind this episode. I had this idea that it would be really cool to kind of hear, the story, the experience through Lila's eyes, and the way she views it and what she thought of the experience and everything. So we talked with Sean. Sean thought it was a great idea. Lila was super excited. So really, we just get to talk about, their experience on the goat survey, what she liked about it, how far they went in, which is, as you hear the story, you'll be super impressed with Lila and her will to keep going, because I think a lot of us at that age probably would have turned and went back to the truck. But it's really cool, again, to hear the perspective, hear it from an eight-year-old's perspective, this entire weekend that they spent together living out of the tent. So really fun episode. If you have kids or you have nieces or nephews or anything like that, you guys are certainly going to appreciate some of the side commentary that comes from Lila. It was an absolute pleasure to have these guys on. So episode 114, Sean and Lila Durkee. Enjoy, everyone. Before we get into the conversation, though, we're going to take a minute to talk about our partners today. Today's episode is going to be brought to you first by Stone Glacier. If you haven't by now, fall season is upon us. I mean, I think in some states, the season even starts later this month. So if you're looking for some last-minute things, you still need a pack, you need some bomb-proof outerwear, head over to StoneGlacier.com. And check out just their wide variety of things that they have to offer. August is obviously going to be very warm. They have some great new lightweight base layers that are great that you should definitely check out. Help get you or help keep you cool, keep the sun off of you, and keep you concealed at the same time. So head over to StoneGlacier.com, give them a check out. And then also today's episode is going to be brought to you by my friends over at Go Hunt. If you have not yet, be sure to check out their new Explorer membership for their mapping system. It's going to give you all 50 states for $50 a year, which there is nothing else out there like that that's going to give you that much information at that price point. And some of the new features I talked about a few weeks ago, but some of the new features that they have are just awesome. It makes e-scouting, I mean, that much easier. And we all know how e-scouting can be, especially as you're preparing now, you know, get those maps with all the layers, all in one shot. You don't have to worry about missing anything. You know, have your areas already downloaded, before you hit the mountain, before you hit the trailhead. And it's going to be super simple. So head over to gohunt.com. All right, Sean, welcome back to the podcast, and Miss Lila, welcome to your very first podcast. How are you guys today?
Good.
Thanks for having us back on. This is fun.
Yeah. I know that Sean, you were one of, one of my first 10 guests, I believe, back when the podcast started. And obviously, your company Elp and Fuel has been growing by leaps and bounds and taking off. I feel like we may have to save that for another podcast in and of itself. But today, we're going to get Miss Lila on here, your daughter, and we're going to talk about a recent goat survey. That you guys just did, what was that, a few weeks back?
Yes, it was about 2 weeks ago. We did a Friday. We drove over to the survey area Friday after orientation at Stone Glacier headquarters and then surveyed goats Saturday after we backpacked in and then spent the night and hiked out Sunday morning.
Oh, that's exciting. And these are the cool things that you know, living in the West or, you know, you guys are in Bozeman there, but living in an area where you have this right out your back door and the opportunity to get involved is awesome. And Lila, what did you think of your first experience on a goat survey?
I don't really know. It's just mixed feelings.
Mixed feelings? Well, what was the highlights of the trip for you?
Hiking with my dad.
Yes, that's always a good time. And those are the things that you'll remember the most when you get older is the hikes that you get to go on with your mom and your dad.
So this was Lila's first big backpacking trip. So we got her a pack earlier this year, and I had wanted to do this. I thought this would be a good trip. Last year we tried to go backpacking and it was canceled. Well, just too smoky. We backed out and didn't have a good chance to go. So this is a good trip just to put it on the calendar and make it happen. So we've been looking forward to this for a few months. I told Lila about 2 months ago that she would get to come with me if she wanted to, and she was excited to go. So tell about how far we hiked in and how all that went.
How far did we hike?
It was 5.5 miles.
5.5 miles.
Wow, oh, go ahead.
We got some switchbacks, which was kind of difficult.
Yeah, 5.5 miles. I have not hiked back into the backcountry 5.5 miles myself. So, Lila, you have done something that I have not done. So, congratulations on that.
Now, we weren't sure how far we would get. Some of the other areas were more off trail, so they saved those for older hikers, and then ours was all on trail. We went into a lake, so it was the lake was at 9,000 feet. We had about 2,000 vertical feet over the 5.5 miles. So it was a push. I didn't know how it would go. A couple miles in, Lila was feeling pretty tired. And so what did we do to keep motivated?
Tell stories.
Yeah. So what kind of stories did you tell?
I don't want them to
let... You can talk about it, Lila. Tell them what you did. You led the way and you told about 2 hours of stories on the way in. What were the stories about?
Mostly Minecraft.
Ah, yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, anything that you have to do to pass the time and help get you up the mountain, you've got to do. And did it make, when you were telling your stories, did it make you not think about the hike so much?
It made me kind of think about puking, but...
Lila, did you have a very heavy pack on?
It wasn't that heavy because I could only carry a little bit since I didn't weigh as much as my dad did.
That's why
he had to carry the important stuff like the food and the water and all that junk.
What did you have in your pack?
And I just had to carry my clothes, my
stuffed animal.
Yeah.
Very important for a sleepover. For a night in the woods, my daughter has a little Elmo doll that she has had since she was born, and she will not go anywhere without that thing. So I appreciate you bringing a stuffed animal along.
Yeah, the hardest part was culling the herd to pick one or two to take with us instead of a half dozen or 20.
Yeah. You got to pick your best ones for the trip like that, right?
Yeah. I was thinking of bringing my stuffed bunny named Lola, but she was really big, so I thought better of it and brung a stuffed squirrel.
Ah, see? That's a perfect animal, a perfect stuffed animal to bring when you're going to be outside is a stuffed squirrel. Good choice.
Yeah, I also have a stuffed flying squirrel.
What? A flying squirrel? All right. I'm gonna have to, one of these days, your dad's gonna have to tell me about all the different stuffed animals that you have, because a squirrel and a flying squirrel, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, she's got a pretty good fleet of animals.
Yeah.
So, Sean, kind of, let's take a step back here and talk about, you know, what the goal was of the survey, who put it on, really kind of all that stuff leading up to actually being able to set out on the trail.
Sure, I can talk about that. This is our third year volunteering, my third year volunteering with the GOAT Alliance. So obviously, as a part of 2% for Conservation, we need to donate our time, volunteer. So that's about 20 hours for a business of our size. And so the GOAT survey is an excellent way to get that full hours in one shot. I had done things like trail maintenance in the past, and it's just way more fun to go out on a goat survey and actually do backpacking. So the Goat Alliance surveys several areas around the West in any given summer, and they had one in February, I think, in the Bitterroot here in Montana. I believe that was an overnighter. That one was pretty cold when they did that one, pretty brutal, but the summer ones are great. They did one the weekend after our survey in the Bridger Mountains here by Bozeman, and that one's just day hikes. So we specifically picked one where there'd be an overnight opportunity. And so Julie, the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks biologist, puts it on with the Goat Alliance. And so on Friday nights before the survey, we show up at Stone Glacier and get our survey areas. And so they cover the whole range in one, I think it's about between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. So 1 5-hour period, everybody's in their survey districts looking for mountain goats. And that's just to make sure that we don't get any duplicate counts. Everybody has a certain area that they're looking in, and we map out the goats on Onyx, whether they're nannies, billies, or kids. And the whole idea is just to get an accurate count in 1 5-hour period for the whole mountain range. So there was about 20 volunteers, and the mountain range that we surveyed is in southwest Montana on the Idaho border, the Henry's Mountains, and it's very rugged. There's peaks. The peaks that we saw the goats on were right on top, and they were at 10,600 feet, so really rugged country. So that's kind of the gist of it. And the whole goal, I guess, is to get an accurate count of nannies, billies, and kids so that they can set the hunting quotas. So 2 years ago, we were surveying this district. I saw maybe, 15 goats on that survey. And at that time, there was two mountain goat tags in the district. And because of our survey, we saw around 80 goats. So they upped it to three tags for that year, the next year. And actually, Randy Newberg drew one of those tags the following year. So that was pretty exciting. And he has a YouTube video of his hunt there. And then this year, we saw 101 goats, I think. And I believe they'll make a recommendation to add another hunting tag even. So the original two was three, and now that three will become four next year, hopefully. So it's just a great opportunity to help do some citizen science and help the biologists out. For mountain goats in particular, the boots on the ground surveys are more effective than flyovers. It's a lot safer, I guess, too, to instead of sending planes through some of those mountain passes at 10,000 feet, they can just do accurate counts with folks. So it's an incredible opportunity that anybody really can do. It's free. Just put your name in the hat and you can go and do it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I know that the first time we were on, we had talked about a little bit. We had talked a little bit about some volunteering that you had done previously, with the surveying. And then I've also had someone on from the Goat Alliance, Lee McDonald, to talk about the surveying and everything like that. So do you know, I mean, it sounds like for about every 20 goats or so that you see, so if it was 80 and then it's jumped up to 120, how many more goats do you need to see, I guess, on a year-to-year basis to really allocate that additional tag?
I don't fully understand. The biologist didn't really say, but I think it comes down to just how many billies versus nannies they're seeing. I have some of the data, but the biologist never spelled out exactly what they're looking for. We just heard that the count was adequate to add another tag.
Okay. Well, that's exciting though, because it gives, another hunter the opportunity to go out and enjoy that type of hunt, which, if there's only four tags, let's say, for this coming year, for the following year, it's a very small odds of drawing something. So it's exciting to give someone else that opportunity to get out there and enjoy wild.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So how many did you guys count yourselves when you were in your position?
About 18.
18. How far away were they, Lila?
They were a good distance away from us.
Did you have your binoculars and your spotting scope and everything out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy looking through the binoculars and trying to count them and see what they were?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we saw three kids as well up on top. So we spotted them with the binos and then zoomed way in. They were well above our lake right up on top. So we needed every bit of the spotting scope to do our count.
Now, were you guys, you said you hiked in 5.5 miles. Now, were you able to just do your survey and your glassing right from that particular spot, or did you have to hike up even further from your base camp?
Where were we setting up the spotting scope, Layla?
At the there was this small plateau rock at the lake, so we just set up our spotting scope and our binoculars there so we could look into there and see all of them.
Now, did your dad pack plenty of snacks for you while you guys were doing the survey?
Yeah,
snacks are a vital piece of the puzzle when it comes to sitting behind binoculars and a spotting scope for a good part of the day.
And Dad brung some saltwater taffy.
Ooh, yeah. My kids love saltwater taffy. What's your favorite flavor?
Mint.
Mint. Good choice. That's a good choice. So how difficult is it to really differentiate between like Billy's and Nanny's at that distance?
It was difficult for us. We just put unknown on the survey for the sex. We only glassed these ones about 15 minutes, and I kept finding more goats in nooks and crannies, and so I was more concentrated on how many were there. Were there any kids and yearlings? And then we weren't able to be definitive on the sex, and so we just put unknown for the adults. But they were. I think I was on 40x on my spotting scope and was able to get some pictures with my camera through the spotter, so they were definitely a long ways away. We only saw them for about 15 minutes, and then they circled around the back of the peak, probably into another survey area, so that was vital to note the time and the onX mapping so they could see if they were duplicates from the other survey area.
Yeah, I've got to imagine with that much data coming in from how many different groups, you say 9 different groups,
something like that. Yeah
to make sure that you're not kind of, like you said, duplicating your efforts or counting twice and all that stuff, and making sure that that final count is as accurate as can be.
Absolutely. And then we saw 19 the next morning, halfway down the peak, kind of in a grassy area above the lake. So I believe it was the same group. There was 3 kids again. So that was fun. We got to see them quite a bit closer the second time on the next morning when the count wasn't being ran, but we reported that data as well. And we were actually set up on a tiny little island out in the lake. The basin was right above the lake, so we didn't have to move, but we were maybe 50 yards from camp, just sitting right basically on a rock in the lake, glassing up high. So it was a great vantage point.
Yeah. Now, is that grizzly country where you guys were at? Was that something you guys had to take into consideration on your pack in?
Yes. We had bear spray and food, bear safe food bags, or sacks to put our food in. So it's the hunting district that is bordering West Yellowstone and the park. So there's definitely grizzlies. We saw no sign and no bears, so no problems there.
Yeah, that's always, I got to imagine, you know, it's Sean, for you, it's one thing if you're going to be out there by yourself, right? And you know, taking the necessary precautions, but I'd imagine it adds a whole nother element when you have your daughter with you.
Yes, it does. And I wasn't terribly concerned, I guess, just because we were going to be at a higher elevation. There was other hikers around. Some of them had dogs. So that was helpful as well. There are other areas, I guess, in the Big Sky region that have maybe higher bear densities. So there are grizzly bears that frequent that area, but thankfully the densities aren't quite as high as the park or some of the other surrounding areas. So it all worked out fine, and we were prepared, I guess, with should we have an encounter.
So, Lila, what was your favorite part about the trip?
Seeing goats and reading books.
Yeah. What books did you bring with you?
Dog Man.
So I have some nieces who are about the same age as you, Lila, and they were actually just talking about Dog Man a few days ago to me. And they seem to really enjoy it. Is that your favorite book?
Aside from Captain Underpants, yes.
always have good snacks and good reading material when you're in the backcountry for the times that you don't see any goats, right?
Yeah.
So, Lila, what did you think about spending the night in a tent, you know, out in the woods with just your dad? I mean, was that something that you enjoyed?
Yeah, but it was kind of scary.
Yeah, what was scary about it?
The trees, because when it gets dark, the trees get like, you think like there's like patches between them and like something's gonna come out and get ya. And you're like, hands up.
But you know your dad's gonna keep you safe, right?
Yeah.
So, Lila, is it something going on a goat survey like this? Is this something that you would do again?
Maybe.
Maybe. So, when you go back to school, I know we talked about this before you started recording that you're going to be starting school here again soon. Is this something that you'll tell your friends about, the chance you had to go camping with your dad and count goats?
I don't want to brag, so probably no.
I love that you're so humble about it, but I think it's something that your friends would think is really cool. I think they'd want to probably try and do it with their parents sometime too, don't you think?
Maybe.
Maybe. What would you tell your friends was exciting about it and that they would like too?
Probably that we got to see cool sights, and we went up this hill when it was raining, and I saw some like paintings on the rock, so that was cool too.
Yeah, did you get to take a lot of pictures?
Yeah. I took some selfies of myself.
Oh, the selfies are very important when you're doing something like that. Absolutely. You should.
Yeah, we saw a few new things as well on the way in and on the way out. We saw a rubber boa snake, which they're native to Montana. I'd never seen one before. They look like a big worm. They're really ugly, but there was one lying in the trail on the way up and one on the
Yeah.
way out, so that was pretty neat too.
The second one kind of looked dead or run over, so we don't know exactly what happened to it. But Dad lifted it off the trail with his hiking pole.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Get it out of the way. Make sure no one else possibly steps on it or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
So, what other kind of animals and wildlife did you guys see when you were out there besides the goats and the snake?
Maybe some birds.
Yeah, we saw a red-tailed hawk on the way in. We did not see any deer or elk or moose. There was some fish at the lake, and we fished for a little bit to pass the time when we weren't surveying. So we saw some rainbows and brook trout in the lake, but no other big game, that just the mountain goats.
Yeah. We didn't see any mooses.
No moosies this time, huh? So is I know in years previous, and Sean, you kind of alluded to it before there, that the wildfires and the smoke cause some issues, especially trying to get to any type of elevation between just the air quality and then the your sight lines and everything like that. Has that been a big problem this summer as well, or not nearly as bad as previous years?
Not really bad.
Yeah, last year we canceled a RV camping trip with my parents because of the smoke. I delayed my backpacking trip until September because of the smoke. It was absolutely wretched last year. And then this year, there's been a few fires in the state and some in Idaho, but the air quality's been great. And then this weekend, we saw a little bit of smoke roll in, but it's been great. A total change this year. So that's
Yeah.
been very nice. We don't have to stay inside and
Suffer from the heat exhaustion.
Yeah, that is a good point. So, Lila, tell me, what else, besides going hiking and camping with your dad, what else do you like to do outside?
I like to race around.
Yeah. Just race
Race
around.
around. Yeah, I just went in a couple of circles and I threw a stick for a doggy that had the bark of Dakota.
Oh, on the trip, but he's saying, what else do you like to do besides hiking and stuff when you're, what other stuff do we do outside?
We
What did you do camping this weekend? We got some little youth kayaks that the kids use this weekend. And we do quite a bit of fishing when we have the chance.
Yeah,
Yeah.
did you get to catch fish when you were on your survey, Lila?
I'm not really of a fisher. I'm not really of a fisher subject, whatever.
She reels him in sometimes.
Yeah.
So, let me ask you this, Lila. I know this was your first real backcountry trip with your dad. Do you get to do a lot of other hiking and camping with your parents?
Yeah, this week, we were going camping with my grandparents.
Okay, how was that?
It was pretty good. We didn't see any mooses.
And we saw 3 moose.
Oh, right, moose. And then we saw a deer called Lucy. And then, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, do you like camping and sitting by the campfire at night and eating s'mores and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I used to have 2 glasses, but my first ones were black and the sides were teal, but I accidentally dove off my aunt's paddleboard with my glasses on, so those got lost.
Oh no. Could you see anything after you lost your glasses?
I could see a little bit.
So as the years come, I mean, Sean, and this question is kind of for you here. I mean, how do the kids receive, you know, the outdoors? I mean, how much do they really understand, you know, the purpose of, like, the goat survey and everything like that?
I think they understand it pretty well. My son, who's 6, we do a lot of ice fishing, and he really gravitates towards that and asks me to go on early morning trips. And we get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and drive to some of these places at least once a year. So the memories really stick with them from the trips. I have been surprised with my son and my daughter, what they recall from a trip maybe 2 years down the road and asking to do it again. And so I think the message that we want to keep those resources around so that we can enjoy those trips, like trips on Forest Service land and with some of these resources, I think it really hits home, and they can grasp that pretty readily. And then the biologist does a good job of explaining things when we're at the survey so that people understand why we're doing it and that motivation behind it. And then last year we were needing a few more volunteer hours, and so we went to 3 fishing access sites on the Madison and cleaned up garbage for folks. And that was good to see, I think, from the kids' perspective, just why we don't litter and how we can help care for these resources. And then when we were out there, we found skeletons and turtle shells, and we just found it was a cool experience as well, even just something as routine as picking up garbage. So that was a good experience too.
We have a pet cat and a dog.
Yeah, I have a dog as well. I know you mentioned your son is 6. Is this something that, you know, you hope maybe next year you can get him out there? Or do you think he's maybe a year or 2 away to before he can get out there with you guys?
Yeah, it really depends on the survey area. I think he'd probably need to be closer to 8 maybe to handle this one as far as the elevation and the miles and whatnot, but he is interested in going. I look forward to taking him down the road for sure.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned just a minute ago the things that our kids recall, you know, even 2-3 years, you know, down the road. As you recall, I was out there. We did I think it was probably shortly before I had left for our Western road trip a few years back is when we had first recorded. And it's funny the things that my daughter will recall at the time. I mean, she was 3 at the time when we did it. but she remembers things that I wouldn't really expect her to. She remembers, you know, like pools at campgrounds and things like that. And, you know, a lot of the playgrounds, like at rest areas and things that we would stop at along the way. And, you know, part of me is like, well, don't you remember, you know, the deer that we saw, or, you know, when we were at Yellowstone, you know, the geysers and, you know, the hot springs and all these things. And no, I don't remember any of that. You know, it's funny what they yeah. recall and what they want to remember.
Well, it was fun to go with Lila backpacking too, because it put me on. She was stopping to look at the snakes and the flowers, and she found a rock that had an imprint on it that looked exactly like an exclamation mark. Things that I never would have taken the time maybe to notice, and so that was special too, just to look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, to see, you know, because with the amount of time that you've spent in the backcountry, right, you kind of, I don't want to say get fixated, but, you know, you see things from up here, right? And then when you bring your children along, you're seeing things from way down here, and it's just an entirely different perspective. And it almost kind of brings you back to being a kid again and appreciating those little things that you've seen, you know, hundreds of times in your time in the backcountry.
Yes. Absolutely.
My perspectives were kind of up high and down low, so I could see things a lot better than my dad.
I'm sure your glasses probably helped too, right?
Yeah.
So aside from seeing the goats, what was your favorite thing that you saw while you were out there, Lila?
Well, I like seeing the flowers.
Yeah. Did you guys see a lot of different wildflowers?
Yeah. We saw a paintbrush.
Yep, Indian paintbrush.
And we saw some yellow bell flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And we also saw a lot of flowers we saw from our trip up to the M.
Yeah. There's a local hike that we do above town, and there's tons of wildflowers on that one. So a lot of the flowers we saw locally were down there as well. And we've got a cool app called Seek, S-E-E-K. And so you basically point your camera. I don't know if you have that app or have heard of it, but you point it at any living thing and it'll identify it all the way down.
Genus.
And it'll identify it as a flower, and then it'll say, oh, it's an orchid or whatever, and it'll keep drilling down. The better resolution it gets, if it can see the flower clearly, and it'll tell you that one's a arrowleaf balsam root or a Indian paintbrush or subspecies even. It's really cool. I don't know my trees and flowers and everything very well, but that's kind of neat to check on, see what things are.
Yeah,
it's a good it's a very good tool for learning and teaching as well, especially when it comes to, you know, things that maybe are edible, you know, when you're out there, something you can just snack on to just to try, you know, just to say that you've tried it and things like that. So yeah, that's I've seen some apps that not necessarily do all living organisms or anything like that, but maybe just like plants or trees or something like that. So yeah, that's very cool. So Well, Lila, let me ask you this. Did your dad bring some of his, some of your guys' food along too? Some of the Elpen fuel for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's your favorite flavor?
Lemon.
The lemon, yeah. That's a good one. I like the chocolate and strawberry. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Lila, was that a good way for you to kind of end your summer between the camping trip with your dad and then just camping with your grandparents? Are you excited to get back to school?
No. I'm not excited because, you know, once you graduate, you're like, okay, this grade is going to be harder than the last one. And I'm just freaking out.
Oh, you're going to be fine. You're going to have new teachers and new stuff to learn, and it'll be exciting, I'm sure.
Yeah, but every year when you get onto summer vacay, you're still the first thing you're struggling at is will my teacher be not nice or nice? Because you won't know, and you're like...
They're usually pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. I remember when I was in school, that was always, I was always afraid of the same thing as well. If the teachers were going to be nice, but you have all the same kids in your class, right?
You won't know if you get the same, if you get the same classmates or you get different classmates.
Okay.
Like third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh.
Yeah, it's a fairly big school, so there'll be some shuffling.
Our school is Meadowlark Elementary.
Okay. All right, very good. So, Lyle, let me ask you one more thing. So next summer, when you're on summer vacay, and your dad asks you if you want to do another goat survey, would you go?
Maybe.
Maybe.
You told me yes last time I asked you.
Yeah. But I'm kind of still deciding that because it was a hard trip. And guess what the guide said there? She said, like, if every year she goes hiking with her kids, and, so whatever age they are, whatever miles they go, so, like, if I was 9, I would go 9 miles. If I was 10, then I would go 10 miles. If I would, if I was, 12, I would go 12 miles. Yeah, kind
of. Yeah, I think I can't remember if it was the biologist or the Goat Alliance coordinator said that she told us our district was 5.5 miles or something like that. And she says, Lila, how old are you? 8. So she said, oh, we figure in our family that a kid can go 1 mile for every year they are old, which I don't know.
That feels pretty like a, feels like a pretty lofty goal, I'll be honest.
That does feel like a lofty goal. So we were pretty excited that we were able to handle what we had. Lila kept up with me on the way out. She did amazing. I was super impressed with, I was thinking about, like I said, last year going backpacking, and I was thinking something in the 2 to 3, maybe 4 mile range. So this was more, we bit off more than I thought, we were ready for, but he handled it and did awesome. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, what's exciting, you know, just from the outside looking in at the situation, is, you know, the fact that, you know, Lila is really part of this, you know, the next generation of conservationists, right? And being able to experience these things at a young age and, you know, grow that love for that love and appreciation for the outdoors and, you know, wild places and wild animals at a young age, I think is certainly crucial, you know, as, you know, Lila, as you get older, as your brother gets older, so that you guys can continue to give back and to donate your time, you know, to help preserve all of these wild places.
I'll always be older than my brother because my birthday is September the 9th and his birthday is like 3 days after Christmas. It's not going to be so well for, since I'm going to turn 9 on my 9th birthday, that's going to be my golden one.
Okay.
And 14th birthday, not so far away. Not, it's really far away because his birthday is 3 days after Christmas, like I said. That's just a long time.
Yeah. Well, and you said that you weren't sure if you wanted to do it again next year because of how hard it was, but you just got to think that next year you'll be a year older, you'll be stronger, you'll be bigger. So the hike will be, it won't be as hard.
Yeah, it'll be even easier next year.
Yeah, and guess what I said to myself? Next year when Forrest is 7, he'll be more gullible.
Yes, he will. But you can't be mean to your little brother. You got to be nice to him.
That's in the job description, right?
No, it's not.
Well, Sean, Lila, thank you for sitting down and telling me about your trip that you guys had and your experiences counting goats. I'm really glad that you guys were able to enjoy that and then come on here and tell me about it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can't wait to get you guys on again next summer after you do another goat survey and hear how much better that one was.
All right.
All right. Well, take care, guys. And Lila, enjoy school this year.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, thank you again to Sean and Lila for taking some time to share their adventure story with me. I would also like to thank the partners of the podcast, Hardside Hydration, Stone Glacier, Go Hunt, Wild Rivers Coffee, Outdoor Class, and of course, 2% for Conservation. Please be sure to go out and support the brands that support this podcast and help make it possible. And if you would like to learn more about 2% for Conservation, you can visit their website, fishandwildlife.org, and there you're going to see all the certified brands that have committed to conservation that you should support when you shop. I also encourage you guys to give 2% a follow on social media, where it's going to be only positive conservation-driven content landing in your feeds. So again, if you'd like to learn more about 2% for Conservation, you can look for them online on social media or at fishandwildlife.org. Thanks for joining me this week, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Be sure to head over to theaverageconservationist.com, catch up on past podcasts, as well as grab some merchandise to help support conservation in the process. So until next week, as always, stay safe and remember that conservation starts with you.